Let's read together Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 25. In these verses, we have more great truth about the superior sacrifice of Christ. Let's begin by reading verses 11 through 14. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Let's begin our study this morning with some background notes. The great theme of the epistle to the Hebrews is the high priesthood of Christ. Did you know that Hebrews is the only book in the New Testament that refers to Jesus as a priest or the high priest? As our high priest, the Lord represents us in heaven before the throne of God. As our high priest, the Lord lives to make intercession for us in the presence of God. And the Lord Jesus is a perfect high priest, because not only is he himself God, but he's man as well. Thus, he's been through the human experience and can therefore sympathize with us. So the high priesthood of Christ is the central theme of the epistle to the Hebrews. Look back at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now just for a little outline of Hebrews to bring us up to date here. In the first seven chapters of Hebrews, the emphasis is on the superiority of Christ in his person as our high priest. In chapters 8 through 10, the emphasis is on the superiority of Christ in his functions as our high priest. Now, as to his functions as high priest, in the first half of chapter 8, we see that Christ serves in a better sanctuary, not in an earthly tabernacle as in the Old Testament, but in the true sanctuary, heaven itself. In the second half of chapter 8, we see that Christ mediated a better covenant. The new covenant is better than the Mosaic law, the old covenant. And in chapter 9, we see that Christ has a better high priestly ministry than that of the Old Testament priests in the line of Aaron. And now here in chapter 10, we see that Christ as high priest offered a better sacrifice, better than all the Old Testament sacrifices put together. The Old Testament sacrifices could never take away a single sin, but Christ's one sacrifice of himself as the Lamb of God, offered once for all, was sufficient to take away the sins of the world. But there's more great truth here in chapter 10 concerning the superior sacrifice of Christ. And that brings us to our doctrinal, our teaching points. So doctrinal point number one, because of Christ's superior sacrifice, we are now sanctified. Because of Christ's superior sacrifice, we are now sanctified. Verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Because of Christ's superior sacrifice, we have not only been saved and had our sins forgiven, but we've been perfected and sanctified. But you say, I know I'm saved, but I don't feel very sanctified, and I know I'm not perfect. Well, the idea in verse 14 is not that Christians are sinlessly perfect now, and we shouldn't expect to be until we get our new sinless resurrection bodies. The idea in verse 14 is that we are now positionally sanctified, that is, set apart for God's holy use. And the goal of God's work in us, that's what the verb to perfect means, the end or goal. God's goal in our lives is full sanctification, and that goal will be realized when we have our sinless bodies in heaven. And notice from verse 14, it is forever. We are not only saved forever, we are sanctified forever, made holy forever. I don't know about you, but I love this truth. Did you ever worry about the possibility of sinning in heaven, like the fallen angels did? will worry no longer. You see the truth that's taught here? You will be fully sanctified forever. A great blessing. All of these blessings are because of Christ's one superior sacrifice. Note that emphasis in verses 11 and 12. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. There were no chairs in the tabernacle. Why not? Because the work of the Old Testament priests was never finished. The same sacrifices had to be offered over and over again. But Christ is now seated in heaven at the right hand of God because his sacrificial work is finished. He offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And it's only a matter of time before Christ's superior sacrifice will be acknowledged universally. All of Christ's enemies will be forced to bow the knee and become the footstool of Christ. Verse 13, and we who are positionally sanctified now will be fully sanctified then. What a great truth. Because of Christ's superior sacrifice, we are now sanctified. Doctrinal point number two. Because of Christ's superior sacrifice, we can enter the holiest. Because of Christ's superior sacrifice, we can enter the holiest. Verses 15 through 25. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We said that the subject of Hebrews chapter 10 is the superior sacrifice of Christ. In verses 1 through 10, we see that it was the will of God the Father. In verses 11 through 14, we see that it was the work of God the Son. And now here, beginning in verse 15 through verse 18, we see that it was the witness of God the Holy Spirit. Now the point here about the witness of the Holy Spirit in verses 15 through 18 is that God had already testified in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 31, which is quoted here, that the new covenant would be based on a superior sacrifice because it would completely take care of the problem of sins forever, something the Old Testament sacrifices could never do. Notice, by the way, that we have a great proof text here for the deity of the Holy Spirit. In Jeremiah 31, we read that it was the Lord God who spoke these words. Here in Hebrews chapter 10, we read that it was the Holy Spirit who spoke these words. In other words, the Holy Spirit is God. Now, beginning in verse 19, we have one of the greatest benefits of the superior sacrifice of Christ. We now have the right to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The idea here is that no matter what our failures or sins, we now have free access to come at any time before God's throne and talk freely to God himself. What a blessing. Remember Hebrews 4:16? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. What a blessing. In the Old Testament, a person could only go as far as the brazen altar. Now all believers can enter the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. This is all now possible because of the superior sacrifice of Christ and his present high priestly ministry. Notice in verse 20 that the rent veil of the Holy of Holies is a type of the crucified body of Christ. Look at that again, beginning at verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Now, let me tell you, if this wasn't in black and white scripture, and I told you that the veil in the tabernacle was a type of the body of Christ, you would probably say that I was pushing Old Testament types too far, right? But this is an inspired writer telling us this truth. As the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom at the time of our Lord's crucifixion, and the way made open into the Holy of Holies, so our Lord's death opened the way for us into the very presence of God. Because of Christ's superior sacrifice, we can enter the holiest. What about practical application from this section of Hebrews chapter 10? Let us digest the lettuces of Hebrews chapter 10. Let us digest the lettuces of Hebrews chapter 10. Now you may say, what kind of practical application is that anyway? Well, we're not talking here of a literal lettuce salad. Obviously not. But did you know the three let us's of verses 22 through 25? Let us draw near, verse 22. Let us hold fast, verse 23. And let us consider one another, verse 24. First, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, verse 22. As the Old Testament priests were consecrated with ritual washing of water and sprinkling of blood, so we have now been consecrated by the work of Christ and can now enter the very presence of God. Let us draw near in prayer and meditation and worship. Second, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 23, we can be sure that the Lord is faithful. Now our responsibility is to faithfully persevere without wavering. Don't be a waverer. Third, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another. Verses 24 and 25. Don't be a Christian hermit. You need Christian fellowship. We all need to exhort one another to get more involved and show more Christian love. The Lord's return is approaching. All of these things are necessary for the balanced Christian life. Are we doing them? If not, then we haven't digested the lettuces of Hebrews chapter 10. It may sound a little trite, but that's okay if it helps us to remember. Let us digest the lettuces of Hebrews chapter 10.